Good morning. We continue the meditation. Jesus is the spiritual director for Sister Faustina. The second meditation, Jesus says, "Now you shall consider my love in the Blessed Sacrament. Here I am entirely yours, soul, body, and divinity, as your bridegroom. You know what love demands? One thing only, reciprocate." Application. Oh my Jesus, you know that I desire to love you with a love that no soul has ever before loved you with. I would like the whole world to be transformed into love for you, my betrothed. You feed me with the honey and milk of your heart. From my earliest years, you reared me for yourself alone, so that I would know how to love you now. You know that I love you, because you alone know the depth of the sacrifice I offer you each day. Jesus says to me, "My daughter, have you any difficulties in this retreat?" I answered that I hadn't. "In this retreat, my mind is like a lightning. I penetrate all the mysteries of faith with great ease. My master and leader, all darkness disappears from my mind under the ray of your light." Jesus says, "Today, for your spiritual reading, you will take the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. Let it feed your heart more than your mind." During the June devotions, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, my favor rests in your heart. When on Holy Thursday, I left myself in the Blessed Sacrament, you were very much on my mind." After these words, my soul made great efforts to express to him what he was to me. When I was at a loss for words and burst into tears in helplessness, and Jesus said, "For you, I am mercy itself. Therefore, I ask you to offer me your misery and this very helplessness of yours, and in this way, you will delight my heart." So we have accept our own helplessness, just offer it to Jesus. Today, a living flame of divine love entered my soul. If it had lasted any longer, I would have consumed by the fire, freeing myself on the bonds of the present. It seemed to me that if it had lasted an instant longer, I would have been drowned in the ocean of love. I cannot describe these arrows of love that pierce my soul. So that's how souls enter into real prayer. So it's consumed. It's consuming. Jesus says, "My daughter, know that my heart is mercy itself. From this sea of mercy, graces float upon the whole world. No soul that has approached me has ever gone away unconsoled." Remember, whenever you come to him, you never left-handed. You always go with something. Jesus has given us something. You will miss nothing when we close to Jesus. Trust. All mystery gets buried in the depths of my mercy, and every saving and sanctifying graces flows from this fountain. Blessed Sacrament. My daughter, I desire that your heart be an abiding place of my mercy. I desire that this mercy float out upon the whole world through your heart. So we are not small, but Jesus through us, the mercy goes to the world. So you go to the families they're working with. May no one who approaches you go away without that trust in my mercy, which I do ardently desire for souls. So we are the instrument of His mercy. Anybody through us, you know, they should feel this divine love for them also. Pray as much as you can for the dying. Be your entreaties. Obtain for them trust in my mercy, because they have most need of trust and have it than these. Be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in the final moment depends on your prayer. So when the time of dying, we are very weak. The devil is surrounding us. They want to take our soul to his side, especially when we are weak. So they need our prayer. You know the whole abyss of my mercy, so draw upon it for yourself and especially for poor sinners. Sooner would heaven and earth turn into nothingness than would my mercy not embrace a trusting soul. My resolution continues to be the same, to unite myself to Christ's mercy. Now, conclusion of the retreat, last conversation with the Lord. Thank you, eternal love, for your inconceivable kindness to me, and you would occupy yourself directly with my sanctification. And he says, my daughter, let three virtues adorn you in a particular way: humility, purity, and intention of love. Do nothing beyond what I demand of you, and accept everything that my hand gives you. Strive for a life of recollection so that you can hear my voice, which is so soft that only recollected souls can hear it. So Jesus is always speaking to us also. We cannot hear because you are much preoccupied with so many things, earthly things. That's how we can listen to his voice. Thank you. So try to be recollected as much as we can. Of course, we can be distracted very easily, but important is come back. You have the willpower to do so. We are not born like that, you know. You're not a born saint. We should be, but not yet a saint. So we have to strive for this sainthood. Every moment, start again and start again and start again and start again. Never ending. Start from the very beginning, the only way. I could not sleep until midnight today, so deeply was I stirred to tomorrow's renewal of vows. The greatness of God embraced my whole being. On June 5th, 1938, renewal of vows. I got up much earlier than usual and went to the chapel, steeping myself in the love of God. Before we receive Holy Communion, I silently renewed my religious vows. After Holy Communion, the infinite love of God swept over me. My soul was in communion with the Holy Spirit, who is the same Lord as the Father and the Son. His breath filled my soul with much delight, that it would be useless for me to try to give even a faint idea of what my heart experienced. Throughout the whole day, wherever I was, and regardless of with whom I talked, a vivid presence of God accompanied me. My soul was drowned in thanksgiving for these great graces. When I went out to the garden today, the Lord said to me, "Return to your room, for I will be waiting for you there." As soon as I returned, I saw the Lord Jesus sitting at a table and waiting for me. He looked at me kindly and said, "My daughter, I want you to right now, because that walk would not have been in conformity with my will." I remained alone and immediately got down to writing. So at times, might be saying we relax, but at times Jesus says, "No, not time to relax yet. Concentrate on my words and write it down." When I immersed myself in prayer, I united myself with all the masses and were being celebrated all over the world at that time. I implored God for the sake of all these holy masses to have mercy on the world and especially on poor sinners who were dying at that moment. At the same time, I received an interior answer from God that 1,000 souls had received grace through a prayerful meditation I had offered to God. We do not know the number of souls that is ours to have to save through our prayers and sacrifices. Therefore, let us always pray for sinners. Today, in the course of a long conversation, the Lord said to me, "How very much I desire the salvation of souls." My dearest secretary, write that. "I want to pour out my divine life into human souls and sanctifying them, if only they were willing to accept my grace." The greatest sinners would achieve great sanctity if only they would trust in my mercy. So though we are sinners, trust in His mercy and receive the greatest mercy from Him. The very inner depths of my being are filled to overflow with mercy. What he says, that is himself. His whole self flow of mercy. And it's being poured out upon all I have created. My delight is to act in a human soul and to fill it with my mercy and to justify it. My kingdom on earth is my life in a human soul, you see. My kingdom come, my kingdom is in thy soul. That's his kingdom. Not outward. When we say kingdom, it's something outside. No, it's in our soul. That's his kingdom. He wants to build his kingdom in us, in our soul. So trust that. Jesus says his mind in us. My kingdom on earth is my life in the human soul. Writes my secretary, that I myself am the spiritual guide of souls. He is the only spiritual director. Even confessions, to confess as we confess, it's Jesus himself through the priest, teachers. But so always, Jesus himself the teaching, he's the teacher. Writes my secretary, that I myself am the spiritual guide of souls. And I guide them indirectly through the priests. And lead each one to sanity by a role known to me alone. Even the priest say many things, he doesn't know what he's saying. Only Jesus knows that what you need to hear. He himself. So only direct, you have a direct contact, your direct phone to Jesus. Mother Superior Irene visited me today, but only for a short while. When she looked around and said that everything was too pretty here. "It is true, the sisters are trying to make my stay in the sanatorium pleasant, but all this beauty does not lessen my sacrifice, which God alone can see, which will cease only when my heart stops beating. Neither the beauty of the whole earth, nor even of heaven itself, can blur the torture of my soul." which is real at each moment, though so deeply interior. It will end when yourself, author of my suffering, say, enough, there is nothing that could lessen my sacrifice. So Sister Irene, her superior, seeing water, her room is so beautiful. Beautiful means neat. When you live in holiness, everything is beautiful, right? We enjoy it. Poverty doesn't mean nothing. Poverty is only purity, life, light, joy, expression, all these beautiful things, right? So keep your room beautiful. Although you have a very small room, maybe you know, keep everything lit. Express the beauty of God also. You know? First Friday after Corpus Christi. Right away on the Friday after Corpus Christi, I felt so unwell that I thought the longed for moment was approaching. Die. She was waiting to die. I had a high fever and spat up much blood during the night. Yet I did not go receive the Holy Lord in the morning. I did go to receive the Lord Jesus in the morning, but I could not stay for the Holy Mass. In the afternoon, my temperature dropped suddenly to 35.8 centigrade. I felt so weak, there was as if everything inside me were dying. But when I steeped myself in the profound prayer, I understood there was not yet the moment of deliverance, but only a closer call from a bridegroom. When I met with the Lord, I said to him, "You are fooling me, Jesus. You show me the open gates of heaven, and again you leave me on earth." The Lord said to me, "When in heaven you see these present days, you will rejoice and we want to see as many of them as possible. I am not surprised, my daughter, that you cannot understand this now, because your heart is overflowing with pain and longing for me." Just for get rid of the pain. Not really for loving Jesus. Get rid of the pain. So go to Jesus faster. "Your vigilance pleased me. Let my words be enough for you. It will not be long now." So time is coming, but still have to suffer. And my soul found itself once again in exile. I lovingly united myself to the will of God, submitting myself to His gracious decrees. The conversations that I hear in this place about worldly matters make me so tired that I near faint. The sisters who nurse me have noticed this because it showed outwardly. Today I saw the glory of God which flows from the image. Many souls are receiving graces, although they do not speak of it openly, even though it has met up with all sorts of vicissitudes. God is receiving glory because of it. And the efforts of Satan and evil men are shattered and come to a lot. In spite of Satan's anger, the divine mercy will triumph over the whole world and will be worshipped by all souls. I've come to know that in order for God to act in a soul, it must give up acting on its own. Otherwise, God will not carry out His will in it. So you try to do your best to do what you can. God cannot do much. Let Him offer to Him. Many times you struggle to succeed, to do something. God cannot intervene. I have come to know that in order for God to act in a soul, it must give up acting on its own. Otherwise, God will not carry out His will in it. When a great storm was approaching, I began to say the chaplet. Suddenly, I heard the voice of an angel. "I cannot approach in this storm because the light which comes from her mouth drives back both me and the storm." Such were the angel's complaint to God. I don't recognize how much havoc he was to have made through this storm. But I was recognized that this prayer was pleasing to God and that this chapter was most powerful. So whenever something wrong, something in need, say the chapter of Divine Mercy. I learned that the son and soul was very pleasing to God, and that in spite of all sorts of persecutions, God was quoting this person with a new and higher dignity. My heart greatly rejoiced in this. The moments which are most pleasant to me are those when I converse with the Lord within the center of my being. I try my very best not to leave him alone. He likes to be always with me. O Jesus, eternal God, thank you for your countless graces and blessings. Let every beat of my heart be a new hymn of thanksgiving to you, O God. Let every drop of my blood circulate for you, Lord. My soul is one hymn in adoration of your mercy. I love you, God, for yourself unknown. My God, although my sufferings are great and perpetrated, I accept them from your heart, from your hands, as magnificent gifts. Accept them all, even the ones the only souls have refused to accept. You can come to me with everything, my Jesus. I refuse you nothing. I ask you for only one thing. Give me the strength to endure them and grant that they may be meritorious. He is my whole being. Do with me as you please. So we offer our whole self that Jesus works in us. Completely. No reservation. Only let Jesus work. We are just his instrument. Offer. Completely. 100%. We are nothing. And he is all things. So with this spirit, let us live this week. Always one with the Lord. Prayerfully and joyfully, and make your place a pleasant place, a beautiful place. Let everybody see your face. How beautiful. You are so rich, because you're rich, not because of money. You're rich with the soul, with the grace that express, you know. If all things are next together, that means your soul is not in peace with the Lord. You're not in love. Love is tightness, right? So keep clean and dress well also, you know, as a bride, always. You are the bride of the Lord, you know. Just keep yourself, dress yourself decent, with color. No, you said it right, sister? You dress nice also, the blue color. So...